Hi, my name's Julie Mackin, and welcome to More Civil Societies. Wow, what an election result. The shock on both sides of politics is, you know, only now passing. The coalition didn't expect to win this election, so their shock has been full of surprise and delight, but not so much for Labor, or indeed for all the polling companies and journalists that assume they would win this election based on the fact that they had been in front of every poll for the last 3 years. So it's kind of easy to see why everyone is so shocked. But the result is not the only standout of this election. The election itself was the most divisive, destructive, and dishonest election I have ever seen. And I'm here to tell you, I have seen a lot. The number of candidates that had to be disendorsed because their views were so cruel, stupid, racist, and misogynistic. At one point, they were just dropping like flies. And the lies that were said. Some people still believe Labor was going to introduce death taxes. Now, for the record, Labor has never thought about introducing death taxes. They still haven't thought about death taxes. And yet on Sunday, a friend of mine told me some people at her church were sincerely relieved Labor lost the election because they were really concerned about the introduction of, you guessed it, death taxes. But there was another history-making component to this campaign, and that was the fact that Clive Palmer spent close to $80 million on advertising. Not classic political advertising, telling people who he was, what he was going to do to make their lives better, and what policies he'd be advocating, and introducing various kinds of candidates out in the field with him. No, these little propaganda offerings that literally soaked every Australian in them for, you know, weeks, months before the election, these offerings were essentially a kind of hallmark thought on the front, like, you know, seriously, think a happy thought, make Australia great again, some kind of deeply vapid thing like that. But on the back, all the detail was, and there was a lot of detail, all of it was targeting Bill Shorten and Labor. I understand the money actually came from Gina Rinehart, and it was not designed to get Palmer into Parliament. It was designed wholly and solely to destroy Labor. And in that regard, it was really effective. I mean, a lot of journalists are going, ha, 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 Clive Palmer didn't even get a seat. I don't think that was ever on the cards. That was not the job description. The job description was destroy Labor. And certainly he can report back with a KPI of, you know, mission accomplished. There was so much wrong with Saturday's election and the whole electoral process that it's hard to know where to start to try and recover a serious, you know, fair dinkum form of democracy in Australia. But I want to suggest that the first place we could and really should start is by demanding a national commitment to end all donations to political parties by everyone all the time from now on, no exceptions. That would mean no more Palmer Reinhardt millions, no need for get up or union donations, and no donations from banks or hospitals or rich individuals. Now, in the past, both major parties have absolutely refused to even countenance such an idea, because on the progressive side, Labor didn't want to prevent the unions from funding, you know, their side of the argument. And remember, membership of the major political parties is just going through the floorboards. So they've got to get money from somewhere, unless it's publicly funded. So Labor didn't want it because they didn't want to prevent the unions funding them. And on the right, the Liberal Party did not want to lose access to the many millions they get from coal, gas, oil, pharmaceutical and banking companies, or the finance sector more broadly. But the state of play has changed radically when one individual can comfortably tip in $80 million. And look, Labor must know they will never have access to that kind of money or that kind of benefactor if they want the rest of the nation to vote for them. That's absolutely true. So it's a first step, but it's a step we need to take in reclaiming our democracy from incredibly powerful and shadowy forces. And frankly, in the age of fake news and all bets are off and, you know, the kind of barbarism we've seen in this election campaign, we have got to put the process of democracy back in public ownership, frankly. We've got to make sure the playing field is fair, and we've got to make sure everyone is publicly funded without access to the kind of corrupting forces that we've seen at play. Maybe that idea's got a snowflake's hope in hell of getting up, but if ever that idea was going to get up, it's really clear today that it's in everyone's interest. Well, you know, okay, except the LNP's interest. But really it's in Labor's interest to rethink that. And because it's been so horrible and because it's been just, it's such a difficult time at the moment for so many reasons, I promise you I'll never probably do this again, but days like today, I want to read a poem from an extraordinary woman who thought a lot about these things. It's by Mary Oliver. It's from her collection of poems in Redbird, 2008, and it's called Of the Empire, and it's short. We will be known as a culture that feared death and adored power, that tried to vanquish insecurity for the few and cared little for the penury of the many. We will be known as a culture that taught and rewarded the amassing of things, that spoke little, if at all, about the quality of life for people, other people, for dogs, for rivers. All the world, in our eyes, they will say, was a commodity, and they will say that this structure was held together politically, which it was, and they will also say that our politics was no more than an apparatus to accommodate the feelings of the heart, and that the heart, in those days, was small and hard and full of meanness.